You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Our previous two shows were breaking down my latest mock draft from a fantasy football perspective. We talked about picks 1 through 16, then 17 through 32, looking ahead to the 2019 NFL Draft, which will be held here April 25th, coming up very fast on the calendar. And finally, we'll know all these teams are looking like with the real picks, with the rosters and all that. So a lot of intrigue still, a lot of possibilities, exciting time to think about those possibilities. Well, today we're going to turn our attention to what the reality is right now for each team, kind of give you a setup of where each team stands going into the draft in terms of their depth chart. So we'll do this in two parts as well. We'll do the AFC teams today, and we'll come back with the NFC team. So looking at the depth charts, what we can take away, focusing on offense, of course, for fantasy football purposes, and how we kind of see things playing out for each team. A lot of quarterback situations, of course, settled, but a lot of running back and wide receiver and tight end situations in flux. So we'll take a deep dive look at all those positions here and go from there, and we'll go in alphabetical order by team. So we'll go starting with Baltimore and get through Tennessee as our final team we'll look at. So 16 teams in depth here in the show. So let's dive right in to the Ravens. Quarterback Lamar Jackson is the starter, Robert Griffin III. Behind him, Joe Flacco, again, traded to the Broncos. So Lamar Jackson, the job is his. They signed Mark Ingram in free agency. So Ingram tops the depth chart there. They still have Gus Edwards. Keeping Kenneth Dixon around, did not bring back Buck Allen or Ty Montgomery. So still looking for the change of pace back. Could be Dixon at this point. So a lot of Ingram-Dixon feel here for this backfield with Gus Edwards, the fantasy hero down the stretch last year, kind of fading. So Ingram is definitely going to pick up those power touches and red zone touches that Edwards got, and Dixon did flash there a little bit as a receiver. They also have Tyler Irvin, the former Texan, is pretty much a receiver only there. So Dixon is the guy to watch here to see if he can kind of establish himself as the poor man's Alvin Kamara behind Ingram, with Ingram being the lead in this particular offense versus being the complimentary guy in New Orleans. So that's the thing we're going to look out for most in this backfield. If Ingram cuts into it and have 60% of the share while it's Kenneth Dixon is 40 or less there going forward, and if Edwards still has a role. But right now I would say Ingram is the lead back, and the back you want most to have in fantasy, with Dixon being more of that late round flyer because of what he flashed last year in a few games working with Edwards. Now wide receiver, well, John Brown is gone, Michael Crabtree is gone, so it was fun while it lasted. Those guys were in Baltimore for exactly one season. They probably saw it, that it wasn't working with Lamar Jackson in terms of what they wanted to do and be there downfield. So Willie Snead in the slot is your number one receiver. Chris Moore moves up to number two, and they also signed Seth Roberts. So not much to see here that any fantasy value there. John Brown certainly had it when Flacco was in there for the Ravens, but this tells you that they're going to go after a wide receiver in the draft. So that wide receiver is going to have a big opportunity here that worked out a little bit with Torrey Smith, didn't work out with Breshad Perriman, but I think there's a potential they go for a first-round receiver or a pretty high receiver right now. Right now we have them taking a center, Garrett Bradbury, there in the draft to help their run blocking. So we'll see, but I think they need to at least add one wide receiver, maybe two, that potentially could have a big impact. Otherwise, there's not much to see here, and we know Lamar Jackson, the passing game wasn't his strength. His fantasy value came more for the running. That points to tight end, and Mark Andrews and Hayden Hurst, last two picks there. They didn't keep Max Williams. Nick Boyle they did, but he's the clear-cut number three here. You can see a lot of two tight end sets with Andrews and Hurst. So if they only had one wide receiver in the draft, it's an indication that Andrews, who did have some good chemistry with Jackson, so did Hurst in the preseason when they had a chance to work together. But Andrews is more that juice offline guy, where Hurst is more the traditional tight end. These two players could have a big role together in Lamar Jackson helmed offense, and really a run heavy type team, with Andrews and Hurst maybe having more value than any wide receiver on this team going forward. Now we go to the Buffalo Bills. You have quarterback Josh Allen. We know he's the guy. At running back, LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore is behind him, moving on from Chris Ivory there. So it's basically Gore is in the Ivory role. It's a split. Do you really trust McCoy or Gore as aging backs? Being that Gore is another aging back, McCoy's place is secure here. But when we looked at the consensus early fantasy football rankings, McCoy was not even considered an RB2. So that's how you still feel, because of the Gore can be the thorn on the side. We saw that with Kenny and Drake last year. When you look at wide receiver here, they added John Brown and Cole Beasley. I would say right now, Zay Jones, when you look all around, is their number one receiver, but Robert Foster was pretty darn good stretching the field and working with Allen last year. So again, will we find some decent fantasy value? Foster was definitely helpful as a sleeper down the stretch last year. Now Brown is in that downfield threat role as well, so that might cut into Foster, Cole Beasley in that possession slot type role, so that could cut into what Jones could do here. So far still nothing to see, and still a lot to sort out with the Bills wide receiver core. At tight end, there's a little bit more clarity. They moved on from Charles Clay and Logan Thomas, so now you have Tyler Kroft, also Nick O'Leary, long gone from this team as well. So Tyler Kroft, we know, is productive there when healthy, filling in for the Bengals. That wasn't the case last year. So you figure Tyler Kroft can get downfield the seam a little bit, could have a good relationship with Josh Allen, a sleeper that we definitely want to watch at tight end. Now we go to Cincinnati. For now is a big emphasis here. Andy Dalton is your starting quarterback still, but we know there's rumors of the Bengals really focusing on a potential replacement here in the draft with new head coach Zach Taylor, offensive minded, maybe want a new pupil at quarterback. Maybe they would consider Dwayne Haskins in the first round, another quarterback in second. So there's definitely consideration there, but Dalton on shaky ground here as the starter. The only thing that bodes well for him, if they don't make a move in the draft of quarterback, is just Jeff Driscoll. But Jeff Driscoll has a little bit of athletic upside that Zach Taylor could look at without a real solid backup situation. So I would think the Bengals draft a quarterback at some point. The question is he going to be real competition to Dalton or not under Taylor? And running back, it's pretty much Joe Mixon. He's going to be an RB1 consideration. Gio Bernard, we'll see how he gets used with Zach Taylor, but Zach Taylor came from the Rams, where when healthy, Todd Gurley was the man there. So Joe Mixon could get that kind of treatment with his talent and versatility in this offense. So big year could be ahead for Joe Mixon. I really feel that with this fit. Now they have AJ Green and Tyler Boyd. It's pretty good when you look at wide receiver one, wide receiver two type talent there. Otherwise it's John Ross that we don't feel anything. So Green and Boyd, I think Boyd maybe overproduced where he should have been, but I think he still could be a wide receiver two in the solid range, while Green can rebound and get healthy and be in the wide receiver one range. Now at tight end, we're going to have to wait and see what Tyler Eifert resigned, CJ Uzuma resigned over Kroft, the aforementioned Kroft. So we'll see there if that nets any value. But it was limited again with Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee there with the Rams when you had Zach Taylor working there. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Our next team that we look at is the Browns. And with the Browns, Baker Mayfield starting, no quarterback question there now, finally. It's happened in Cleveland, legitimate starting quarterback. In the backfield right now, the only reliable thing is Nick Chubb. And Nick Chubb could see a bigger role here. Kareem Hunt, we know, is facing a suspension. Their flyer, Duke Johnson, wants to trade, wants to be out of there, wants to be featured a little bit more and find a role elsewhere after not doing much with Freddie Kitchens last year. So Duke Johnson could be traded there during the draft. That would boost Nick Chubb's value there for sure, because Hunt, he's not counted on to even play at all in 2019. So Mayfield, Chubb looking good. Odell Beckham Jr. locked in as a wide receiver one. Jarvis Landry is a wide receiver two there. Antonio Callaway could be some trickle down for him as a wide receiver three. We'll have to see. It's more about how they use this offense. They typically, with this Freddie Kitchens offense, haven't worked David Njoku more, but this is an opportunity maybe playing off the talents of Beckham and Landry that Njoku could be bigger presence. But there's also Demetrius Harris, who was a solid backup behind Travis Kelce receiving-wise. Last year, Seth DeValve was still around. So Njoku, we'd like to think of him as a back-end tight end one, but it's really difficult at this point. With Harris in the mix, DeValve still there. The wide receivers now going three deep solidly, really four deep when you throw in Rashard Higgins behind Beckham, Landry, and Callaway. So it's going to be interesting to see how it lines up, but right now I would say it leans more to the wide receivers having the most value after the clear-cut guys there in Mayfield and Chubb at quarterback and running back. The Broncos, you look at them, Joe Flacco is your new starting quarterback, Phillip Lindsay coming off injury, they feel good about him being fully healthy, there to go. It was a tough end to a very good season, a big-time fantasy season as an undrafted free agent, dominated, went to the Pro Bowl. I would think because of Lindsay and breaking down a little bit near the end, you would have a little bit more of Royce Freeman, a little maybe 60-40 action with Lindsay as the early down, Freeman as the kind of the change of pace in terms of being the power back in certain situations. Devontae Booker maybe getting a few more touches. But right now, Lindsay's the guy to look at there as probably more as an RB2 overall. The next position you look at there is wide receiver. This is kind of interesting. Emmanuel Sanders has been re-upped, but to me, Cortland Sutton is the number one. We're going to watch to see, again, who does Joe Flacco have the best chemistry with? I think Sutton is a strong candidate for that. So is Sanders. Deshaun Hamilton also came on as a rookie in the slot. Tim Patrick is now your fourth receiver there with Sanders re-upped here. So a little bit of a gaggle of wide receivers, but we know Flacco tends to gravitate towards one guy. I would bet right now it's down to Sutton and Sanders. Hamilton with being the sleeper there. And again, it's been outside guys, slot guys. It's just all about Flacco and the chemistry there. And the chemistry could also trickle down to tight end, where Jeff Heirman was re-signed. Jake Butt trying to shake off his injuries to be effective there. But no more Matt LaCoste. So Heirman and Flacco could be the combination we're watching there. Heirman did have a game or two there of note and fantasy before he had a season-ending injury as well. So a lot of things to sort out in Denver with things in flux. New head coach and Vic Fangio, new quarterback, a new type of offense. So all kind of things we need to see play out a little bit, and there'll be some competitions there in camp. Now, we've been talking all about these teams here, their depth charts before the draft. Well, drafts are revving up. We got our team-by-team podcast. Check them out. All your team needs and breakdowns individually of those teams, taking deep dive, specific look at what they need, what these teams are going to do in the draft. And don't forget, that only leads into our two draft podcasts there, Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast, straight from the Draft Network experts here. John Ledyard, Trevor Sikkema lead the crew there. So check out all those shows, team by team, our two draft-specific shows, and you'll be good to go here for the biggest moment of the offseason, April 25th through April 27th. And check out those shows. We did a mock draft show that was fantastic. So all kinds of good stuff on the network there. And don't forget it, that MLB is in full swing with the regular season and NBA playoffs as well. So all our podcasts in the kind of hit zone right now that you have to be listening to the network. We'll be right back here to start looking at the rest of the AFC, starting with the Houston Texans. All right, let's look at the Texans and their depth chart here. Good team to talk about because there's a lot of fancy upside. Deshaun Watson working to be more of a QB1. A.J. McCarron is now his new backup. That's pretty clear cut. Nothing's going to change there. Running back, we'll have to see a little bit more. Is it going to be Dante Foreman or Lamar Miller? They haven't cut Miller. They're confident still in Foreman. Will they add another running back to this mix in the draft? So a lot of things in flux there. I can't really feel good about Miller versus Foreman right at this moment. There, I think, leans a little towards Foreman as a guy that they really want to be productive, but Miller has been the guy who has been productive, and they haven't quite cut yet there. Say that a few times fast there from this team. So if he's sticking around, it could be just to see if they can get a better replacement in the draft, and that's certainly a possibility for the Texans with a lot of good middle-round values at that position. Now, at wide receiver, assuming Will Fuller's healthy, you have DeAndre Hopkins, maybe arguably, and we looked at it. Right now, the consensus number one wide receiver in fantasy football with all things going on with the others, including Antonio Brown and Julio Jones. So Hopkins there, Will Fuller, when healthy, I think he's a wide receiver too because of the touchdown and big play upside. And Kiki Kuti probably settling into the hamstring injury from last year away from that. So it's pretty clear cut for Hopkins, Fuller, Kuti being the three guys for Watson. Tight end, we saw a little bit of Jordan Thomas used, but not enough. Maybe he'll expand here behind Ryan Griffin, but we know with Bill O'Brien, the tight end has not been used as much. So we'll have to see there. But I'd say right now, the sure thing is Watson and those receivers, Hopkins, Fuller, QT, in that order. And running back, still wait and see approach with that. Our next team that we look at is the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck is your starting quarterback. Jacoby Brissett is an above-average backup. Marlon Mack, they didn't go out and get J.H.I. or Le'Veon Bell or any other running back in free agency quite yet. Jordan Wilkins and Naeem Hines are more of the change of pace young backs, the second-year backs. Marlon Mack looked pretty darn good for them last year. So Marlon Mack is your lead there and a nice sleeper RB2 at the moment. Now, at wide receiver, big changes there. Still didn't bring back Zach Pascal, didn't sign Ryan Grant, didn't sign Dontrell Inman. Deion Kane was a guy that had some upside last year. We'll see if he can be a contributor. Now that he's healthy, the kid from Clemson, you had Chester Rogers in their slot. They signed Devin Funchess. So it's right now it's Hilton and Funchess. And we're going to pay attention to that number two receiver spot because it could be very productive. We saw it flash a little bit. It was a little bit by committee last year, not Grant or Pascal or Inman. So we'll see if Funchess can take advantage of the opportunity because he has a shot clearly at the number two. And he could be third in the pecking order as well. When you look at tight end, Eric Ebron is fully healthy, and we know he's a touchdown maker. But Jack Doyle coming off that serious kidney injury there that shelved him at the end of last season. They didn't keep Eric Swoop. Mo Alley Cox is now the number three. So Funchess does have an opportunity. Doyle hurt. Mo Alley Cox not being as talented to really carve a role there in the passing game, playing off Andrew Luck and his prolific passing for sure. We go to the Jaguars, and the quarterback spot is pretty simple. Nick Foles is your new clear starter, no toggling between Blake Bortles, and now clear cut number two, Cody Kessler, as Bortles is now in Los Angeles as the Rams backup, replacing Sean Mannion. We'll talk about that depth chart tomorrow, but Foles, clear cut starter there. Leonard Fournette is your clear starter for the Jaguars. They also have Alfred Blue, the former Texan, Benny Cunningham, the former Bear and Ram, as options behind it. I would say Blue is straight up the early down backup to Fournette, although Thomas Rawls is still on the roster as well. So some interesting change-ups there when they're not to keeping TJ Yeldon or Corey Grant. So Blue right now, we know he was the straight up early down guy that was productive at times for Lamar Miller. Right now, I would think he steps in that role. Notably, Blue also an LSU product the way that Fournette is. So he's in the lead right now to be Fournette's top backup. And it's pretty much a straight-up early down backup at that. Now you look at wide receiver, Marquise Lee. They're hoping that he's fully healthy. To me, D.D. Westbrook, even though he's a slot guy, is really their number one. They signed Chris Conley, have D.J. Chark, the big playmaker, there from LSU with the speed. In the second year, they expect more out of him. Marquise Lee can be that valuable lineup everywhere guy. And Keelan Cole had his moments there. So it's kind of wide open now with Chris Conley in there as well with Cole and Chark and Westbrook and Lee. Where's Nick Foles going to find the chemistry, the guys he feels most comfortable with? I'm going to lean right now towards Westbrook. I think he's the most talented and well-rounded receiver on the Jaguars roster. So Lee, kind of similar, that can line up everywhere. So if you look at kind of the solid, maybe wide receiver three options, Lee and Westbrook can come into play, but maybe Chark or Conley or Cole have a higher ceiling here, working with Nick Foles as bigger, deep, big play threats for the Jaguars. The next position there is tight end. That's gone through some changes. No more Austin Seferian Jenkins. They did re-sign James O'Shaughnessy, and Ben Koyak is still in the mix, but Jeff Swaim, the former Cowboy, who had some flashes there replacing Jason Witten. Witten returned there, so Witten essentially replaced Swaim after Swaim replaced Witten. Some potential there. We know that there's been some good tight end connections for Nick Foles in Philadelphia. So Swaim's a guy we're going to keep an eye on to see, especially because we want to see how the wide receiver situation shakes out and the chemistry as well, Foles in that mix. Now, we look at the next team, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, he's a starter. Just in case you're wondering, Chad Henne, EJ Manuel, and Chase Litton are their options to be the backup. So let's hope Patrick Mahomes doesn't get hurt. At running back, Damien Williams, he took over when Kareem Hunt was booted last year. Carlos Hyde is now his early down backup. They could possibly look for a receiving back, but Williams was pretty good in that role last year. So Daryl Williams drops. Carlos Hyde is now your new number two. At wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, we'll see if anything happens with him off the field. But right now, Tyreek Hill is good to go as your number one with no more Chris Conley. Sammy Watkins should be a clear-cut number two there without Conley in the mix. There in tight end, Travis Kelce behind him now without Demetrius Harris is Blake Bell. The Belldozer is behind Kelce. So Kelce, Harris, the move, not keeping him really bumps Kelce's value. Not keeping Conley bumps up the value of Hill and Watkins. Our next team that we look at is the Chargers. The Chargers are okay with Phillip Rivers, automatic starts. Melvin Gordon is your early down featured workhorse. Austin Eckler is your change of pace for PPR. Justin Jackson is your handcuff for Gordon. So pretty similar to last year. No more Tyrell Williams, a wide receiver. So clear cut there. Keenan Allen is your number one. Can also work inside at times when they stretch the field. Mike Williams is a strong upside number two as well. So wide receiver one borderline for Allen, wide receiver two for sure for Williams, and could have bigger upside than that as wide receiver one. At tight end, you have Hunter Henry returning to the top there. Antonio Gates, the options open for him to return, but I don't necessarily see that at all. So Hunter Henry is your guy there. Our next team that we look at is Miami Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick is your new bridge quarterback. It's pretty easy there with no more Ryan Tannehill. Jake Rudock and Luke Falk are the other quarterback. So Fitzpatrick is your starter. Kenny Drake with the thorn that is Frank Gore gone and now plaguing Bills and LeSean McCoy. Kenny Drake is your clear starter even with the new coaching staff. Kalen Ballage could get a little bit more opportunity to be in number two, but Drake could be featured here with Fitzpatrick in the role. And pretty easy to know their receivers. Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson are their two best, but Devontae Parker has some upside. Stills, I think, is a guy that would line up well with Fitzpatrick, and I'm going to watch that for sure. At tight end, this is going to be intriguing to see if Mike Gesicki can carve out a bigger role in year two out of Penn State. They had some other guys in there last year. Duncan Durham-Smythe is the backup tight end there. That's a blocker. Nick O'Leary there, Dwayne Allen. But Gesicki has a chance to really do well in a new team and the new offense that knows the value of tight end from New England. Speaking of New England, we will get to them in a moment as we wrap up the AFC depth charts. But as a reminder, you can listen to Locked On Fantasy Football wherever you are at home or on the go, with your smart speaker. All you have to do is say, play a podcast, Locked On Fantasy Football. We're everywhere you go. We're in compact, convenient listening form for you with your analysis and information. Now, it's never been so easy to do that with your smart speaker. And also, don't forget to download and set up your podcast through Himalaya. Himalaya is highly recommended as the go-to platform for you to download and listen to your favorite podcasts, including your shows on the Locked On Network. So, again, thanks to Himalaya for partnering with us, and hope that you're listening and getting all the good insight here and listening from the Locked On Network, wherever you're at, however you download it. We'll be right back here to break down the rest of the AFC state of depth charts here. All right, let's look at the New England Patriots. This one is easy. Quarterback Tom Brady. Sonny Michel is your early down lead back. James White is your change of pace back. When we were talking about this, they were thinking about getting TJ Yeldon. We'll see if that complicates things a little bit, but I wouldn't think so with Michel and White. Rex Burkhead, still that swing number three. Brandon Bolden, by the way, back in the mix. The former Patriot, former Dolphin, now back with the Patriots in that swing role because of his special teams duty. So it looks like Michel early down, potential RB2. James White, PPR, RB2/RB3. You look at wide receiver, Julian Edelman is your clear-cut number one, but they haven't re-signed Chris Hogan. They're waiting on Josh Gordon in that situation. So right now, Philip Dorsett is your number two. Newcomers Maurice Harris, formerly of the Redskins. Bruce Ellington, formerly of the Lions and Texans, is your number four. There with Matt Slater, the special teams ace. There's number five, and Braxton Berrios, last year's mini slot guy, potentially seeing a role on this team as well. The tight end, without Rob Gronkowski, it's now Matt Lacoste and Austin Seferian-Jenkins, as well as holdover Jacob Hollister. So we'll see how that plays out, but big opportunity for either Lacoste or Seferian-Jenkins, who I'd feel a little bit better about if he's healthy, to be the guy that picks up the red zone, big play slack for retired Rob Gronkowski. We go to the next team. It's the Jets. Sam Darnold's your starting quarterback. Trevor Siemian, your new backup. Le'Veon Bell is your new featured lead back, with Elijah McGuire now as your clear-cut handcuff there, with no more Bilal Powell or Isaiah Crowell. There, Trenton Cannon is your third back, but it's all about Bell and a little bit of McGuire in this offense. Your wide receivers are pretty straightforward. Quincy Enunwa as your kind of versatile possession number one, can line up inside. Robbie Anderson, your big play number one, the most coveted fantasy football receiver here. Jamison Crowder working the slot to help Darnold, and also joining as a newcomer is Josh Bellamy. So a little bit more depth and versatility for that receiving core. You also have Chris Herndon, an upcoming tight end that we're going to watch for to do some big things with Darnold, especially with Adam Gase. So a lot of upside for all these guys. Bell, we know what we get from him. Darnold, some buzz there as a back-end QB1. Enunwa, Anderson, Herndon, not a bad trio when you throw in Crowder as well to work with Sam Darnold. We look at the Raiders. Derek Carr still the quarterback. Mike Glennon and Ethan Peterman and Landry Jones are your next three there. So intriguing if you wondered where those guys are at, but that means Derek Carr is still the starter. Your new starting back in Oakland for now, at least on early downs, is Isaiah Crowell, picked up from the Jets off the scrap heap. Jalen Richard is your change of pace, but we suspect they'll look at Josh Jacobs, and that's what we had mocked to them in the draft from Alabama, or another running back there in the draft. Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams are your new starting receivers there. Seth Roberts is gone. Jordy Nelson is gone. Amari Cooper is gone. Michael Crabtree is gone. All these guys are gone. But Brown is your number one. Tyrell Williams there. I think Brown is your wide receiver one in the borderline. Wide receiver three, potential for Tyrell Williams. Ryan Grant, nope, nothing to see there. At tight end, you have Luke Wilson, the former Seahawk and Lion, the Canadian, is there as your best receiving option, but nothing to see there yet. It's more about Brown and Williams here, and still need to see more running back and tight end, which could change drastically in the draft. We go to Steelers. This one's easy. Ben Roethlisberger is your quarterback. Josh Dobbs and Mason Rudolph battling to be the number two there. James Conner, we know he took over for Bell with a little bit more Jalen Samuels. See if they add a little bit of change of pace in the draft. That wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, slides up as the number one, and he's going to great wide receiver one position for sure. The others we're not sure about. James Washington and Dante Moncrief will battle a little bit. Ryan Switzer and Eli Roger can battle in the slot. So nothing to see after that, but that makes Juju Smith-Schuster a bona fide big-time number one because of the volume alone. Vance McDonald no longer has Jesse James to contend with, so he's a clear-cut number one ahead of Xavier Grimble. So good news for Smith-Schuster and McDonald, eating up more targets here, and a lot of catches they have to make up for with no James and no Brown. Smith-Schuster and McDonald will do that. They'll probably get some help in the draft, but you figure those two guys are going to be really popular picks as wide receiver and tight end ones, respectively. And the last team we look at is your Tennessee Titans from the AFC. You have Marcus Mariota, still the starter, confirmed here by the coaching staff and Mike Vrabel over Ryan Tannehill, who they acquired from the Dolphins. Tannehill, however, would be a plug-and-play backup if you were that interested. Again, the Titans quarterback situation, it's hard to believe that way because they're run-heavy. Derrick Henry is your super workhorse. Deion Lewis is relegated to little-used change-of-pace backup. Derrick Henry is the hammer, won a lot of leagues last year. That's not going to change this year. At wide receiver, Corey Davis is your clear number one, potential good wide receiver three based on the passing volume of this offense. Adam Humphries, we can't really recommend him, or Taywan Taylor or Tajay Sharp. Humphries was productive at times in the slot for the Bucks, but in the slot here in an offense that doesn't throw as much, it's hard to know. Delanie Walker and Jonas Smith are your top two tight ends, but We have them taking Irv Smith of Alabama in the first round of the draft. So they're going to look up for a replacement. Walker getting older, and he's coming off an injury. Jonas Smith gets banged up as well. They might want a more traditional all-around tight end there. I think he has the potential to step up and be the number two target behind Davis for Mariota in this offense, with Henry carrying a big load in the running game. So there you have it. There's a look at the AFC depth charts and where they stand going into the 2019 NFL draft and how that applies to fantasy football at this very moment. So we'll do the same for the NFC tomorrow, so check out that show. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football, and we'll tune in for the NFC breakdown and some more schedule analysis to come in advance of next week.